your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is the beginning of a new series. I call it Children in Reiki. Of course, the people that I'm interviewing are not children anymore, but they did contact Reiki when they were under 20, usually, and most of the time, way under 20. I was interested because a lot of people have been very excited about having, once they have Reiki, that their children have Reiki, and then it was interesting for me to explore what the possibilities are for children who have Reiki and how that impacted their lives. So in the next couple of months, we're going to have several people who have had Reiki when they were children be interviewed. And of course, because I know them to interview them or ask them to interview because I've known their parents. And so these are, for me, a kind of second generation of Reiki student and sometimes masters. And we'll see where we go with this. I am very excited about this series and hope you will enjoy it as much as I have in doing the interviews. Today, for our first interview, is Asuya Clef. And I met Asuya's mother in Australia, where she's from, in Sydney, and I think in the mid-1980s. So I've known Lalita, who was on the air a few months ago, and now we're speaking to her daughter, Asuya. Welcome, Asuya.
Thank you, Phyllis. Nice to be here. Just so that you know, it's Anasuya.
Asuya, oh, gosh. I mean, maybe I've just done this too long. I've been anticipating this because we tried to do an appointment a few months ago, and now we get to do it today, and I'm so excited.
Oh, me too. It's wonderful. You always do call me by my right name, so.
Right. Anasuya. So, let's see, where shall we start? Well, let's start with how you came into contact with Reiki.
Well, actually, it was Mum that came into contact with Reiki. When we were living in an ashram over in India, she met Wanya Twan, who was one of Atakasa's masters. Uh-huh. And she gave Reiki to Mum. I don't think I had much contact really with it in the ashram. It wasn't until we were back in Australia and 1 year asked Mum to organise a Reiki workshop. And so really I think my first contact was at that workshop, which was when I was 5, so a long time ago. And I did the Reiki course. I don't remember much about it. I just remember playing in the garden, and then Mum would call me up and I'd go and have the initiations, and then I'd go out and play in the garden again. So, yeah, it was pretty easy going.
Great. Yeah. So what happened after you were initiated?
I don't remember much difference. I've had chats to Mum about it, and she tells me stories like, she had a very bad back and she needed Reiki. So she would sit down and I would give her Reiki. But I would give her Reiki the way Wanya gave Reiki. And Wanya always used to kind of warm up her hands a little bit and roll up her sleeves and then put her hands on. So apparently I used to sit there and warm up my hands and roll up my sleeves, even if I didn't have sleeves on, and then just pop my hands on Mum. And she said it was amazingly powerful Reiki. I guess when you're young and you don't have any of the preconceptions of what should and shouldn't be happening, it just happens.
So when was your first memory of your own Reiki experience, like something that happened to you through Reiki?
Actually, my own Reiki. I mean, I remember Mum giving me a lot of Reiki, but probably the most dramatic first memory would have been when I was, I think I was about 12, and it was actually after Mum had become a Reiki master, and it was the weekend of her first Reiki workshop, and my stepbrother slammed the front door on me, which had six small windows, and I put my hand through one of the windows, and I was very, very badly cut on my wrists, my one wrist, and it was bleeding everywhere, and Ian, my stepfather, had his hand on my wrist to try and stop the bleeding.
Uh-huh.
And Mum was pulled out of the workshop, and we raced down to the children's hospital, which was only about a 3 or 4 minute drive. It really wasn't very far. And I just remember sitting in the back and Mum giving me Reiki on my wrist. And by the time we got to the hospital, the bleeding had stopped. So the doctors, I mean, they were all very amazed, and I was lying on the table, and they didn't think that much was really that wrong with it because there was no blood. And I remember lying on the table and looking up at the reflection in the nurse's glasses because they wouldn't let me see it, so I was moving my wrist to see the reflection. I literally just had a hole in my wrist. It was pretty freaky. And then they squeezed my wrist, and a spurt of blood came out, and Mum said she'd never seen people get so scared because I suddenly realised I had an incredibly bad injury on my wrist. It was likely I'd cut an artery, and the bleeding shouldn't have stopped. And I didn't need painkillers. I mean, Mum was just sitting next to me giving me Reiki, and I had to wait 8 hours for the operation because I'd just eaten lunch and I needed a general anaesthetic. So that whole experience, while at the time I didn't really think about the Reiki, when I looked back on it, I realised it was amazing to have that in my life. It healed it much more quickly than it should have healed, and I didn't need these painkillers, and, you know, I was back at gymnastics in a month, and it was a major operation. I cut 2 nerves, 2 tendons, and a small artery, so it was pretty severe.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was very hectic.
And now, of course, you have... do you have full use of your wrist?
Pretty much. I mean, I don't have full feeling in my fingers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I do, but it's not the same as a normal finger. Like, it feels like a little bit, not numb, but just thicker. But I mean,
uh-huh.
I can do everything. Yeah, it's not.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, really amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. And so, did you practice Reiki family, did you practice on other people?
I gave a lot of Reiki to Mum.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously she started a Reiki practice, so we used to have a lot of Reiki at our house, and I would go into the Reiki shares. You know, she would have a night where people would come and swap Reiki. So I was
uh-huh.
involved in that, and I was helping out at the workshops and things. I remember not really knowing whether or not it really worked, and it wasn't actually until we came and met you recently in Australia and you posed that question, what is Reiki healing, that I really started thinking about it, because I used to get really bad migraines as a teenager, and I'd lie in bed and give my migraine Reiki, and I just would be wondering, why aren't they going away? Like, if it's supposed to heal, why do I still have my migraine? And then after we came and met you, I sort of thought about it and realized that there was a lot of healing underneath that was going on because they went away and I don't get them anymore.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, I hadn't even really thought about it until I was thinking about that question, and I realized that I just don't get them anymore, and I probably didn't get them from after high school even.
Wow.
So I gave myself a lot of Reiki.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily...
Uh-huh.
Thinking about it, if you know what
right.
I mean.
Right. And yeah. So you went on to take second degree, obviously?
Yeah, I think, again, not too long after my wrist, actually. I think it might have been that Christmas. So when I was 12 or 13, I did second degree.
Uh-huh. And did you do that with Wanya, or did you do that with your mum?
No, I did that one with my mum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how was that, to have your mum as a Reiki master?
Well, I guess I didn't really think about her as a Reiki master. I mean, you know, like she was just mum. So we did all the bits that you do and I learned about it, but there wasn't really, it wasn't like doing a course. It wasn't like if I do a course now and you learn sort of more about it, it was just part of my life. It was the next step. So it wasn't, it's not until recently that I've really started going back and looking into it that I'm understanding a little bit more about how the sending of the Reiki works and, you know, what we send it to and in what situations and things like that. At the time, it was just part of my life because I'd always had Reiki and this was the next step. And it was very exciting. I mean, it was like a little mini move up into adulthood as well. Because you had to be able to keep a secret. And so it was Mum saying, well, I think you can keep a secret.
Oh, great.
Yeah, maybe a late bloomer, I don't know.
Oh, great. So then how did you decide then that you wanted to be a master, or was that something that was just also a given?
No, it really wasn't. It wasn't something I'd ever really thought about. Mainly, I think, because I never wanted to go into Reiki as a career. So I'd grown up with Mum and she had a full-time practice. So I guess to me, I sort of saw Reiki Masters as having a practice and that's what you did. So if you were Reiki Master, you did lots of workshops and you know, and found people and passed that on. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go into business and I've always wanted to work with the environment. So that's what I'm kind of doing at the moment. And then when I was in London, a couple of my friends were interested in doing the course. And so we went up to do it with Krishni, who...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether she was one of Takata's masters or whether she was one of Wanya's masters, maybe.
She's one of Wanya's. She was, Wanya's first master.
Okay, yeah, so that's right, because she worked with Wanya in the ashram.
Yeah, she treated the deer in the ashram. Great stories.
Yeah, that's right, and Wanya initiated her into Reiki at the ashram. So she was in London, and I took a couple of my friends up, and I went and sat in on the workshop, and she actually said to me, so have you thought about being a Reiki master? And I hadn't. And then I went traveling and just took it really easy and thought about it and realized that it was actually really important to me to have that connection. And Reiki had played such an important part in my life, especially when I was in London. I sent a lot of Reiki. I mean, there was always something going on and I was always sending Reiki to myself in situations or sending Reiki to the situation. I was giving myself a lot of Reiki. And it was an amazing tool, and I realized that it was such an important part of my life that I didn't want to lose that connection. And if anything happened to Mum, then that connection was gone.
Okay. So I'm just going to slide in here and interrupt you. Hold that thought, and we'll be back after this station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're talking today with Anasuya Tlef. I somehow went into some brain orbit and mispronounced her name. But anyway, we're back with Anasuya, and she's in the middle of a story of how of her journey to Reiki Masters. And so you're in London. You were using Reiki a lot for yourself and for situations, and people were asking you, why don't you become a Reiki master?
Yeah, and it just made me think about, I guess, about what being a Reiki master meant to me. Because before that, it had just been, you know, if you're a Reiki master, you do workshops, and that's the path that you take. And then I really started thinking about it, and I realized that it was so much more than that, that it was an amazing gift that can be given to the world, and that I wanted to be part of that gift. And again, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the world, I realized that if something happened to Mum, then that connection for me was really gone, and that I really wanted to be able to pass it on to my children. Especially because it had been such a big part of my life, and that I wanted to be able to pass it on to other people if it was necessary. And so I kind of went travelling and had a really big think about it. And when I got back from Thailand, I just asked Mum the question and told her that I was thinking about it and I would like to take that next step, and what would we do? And so we just started talking about it, and then everything kind of started moving. Like I'd promised my brother I was going to come back for his 21st birthday. This was in 2007. And then I got back from Thailand and realized that I was getting way caught up in the corporate world, and I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to be working in something that meant something to me, with the environment and with helping people shift focus. And everything started moving, and then I ended up moving back to Australia that year. I hadn't planned it. And suddenly I was here. And so, yeah, and so in September that I came back, we put some time aside, and, you know, I did a lot of pre-work, just getting myself to the state that I guess I thought a Reiki master needed to be in.
Oh, I can't wait to ask you what that was. But anyway, we'll go on.
and then we went away. It was a beautiful time. I went away for 4 days. And just chilled out and went to bed early and meditated. And then Mum came and visited me where I was staying for 2 days. And we did the initiation. And then the day that we did the initiation, we went to the markets. And I was kind of half out of it, and I ended up falling down a hole. I was like, what's the universe telling me now? There was this big rabbit hole on the side of the road that I put my foot down and jarred myself. It was really funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into?
So this is just last year?
Just 2007. So
2007. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of off the beaten track here.
2008, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, so just over a year ago.
Yeah, wonderful. So what was your impression of what kind of state a Reiki master should be in?
Well, I guess it feels like quite a spiritual step, and that was where my life was going at that time, and so I was trying to meditate, which I have a huge problem with. I can never shut my mind up, and I get quite frustrated, and so I try and meditate, but I'm not very good at it. And just, it was more about going on my own personal journey and looking inside as to why I was taking this step and where I wanted my life to be going and how that was going to fit in, and doing a lot of my own personal work and then meditating and following my own spiritual path, because to me it really is a part of that. I mean, it's this amazing connection to, I guess, source or the universe at every step of the way. And if you're going to connect to that and be able to pass that on to other people, I think it's really important that you're quite strong in yourself and that you're ready to hold that energy. So, I was trying to get myself ready.
And did you?
I think
did you feel ready when you were initiated?
No.
No?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. No, because... Why didn't I? It's interesting that that just came out. I guess because I didn't really know what to expect.
Right.
And because I kind of felt like I needed to be strong and had gotten rid of all my patterns, and I don't think it's easy to ever get rid of all your patterns. So I was still getting caught up in things that I didn't necessarily want to be getting caught up in. And, but interestingly, since that, a lot of stuff has unfolded, and the leaps and bounds that I've made in myself since that point is actually quite dramatic. And it wasn't until I looked back and thought about it that, and Mum, you know, she actually asked me about it because I didn't feel like anything had changed. But then I looked back on. Well, I didn't. I was like, well, that's cool. I mean, I can do the initiations now. And it was really interesting doing workshops and kind of getting into that vibe and being the teacher, which was really interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. But looking back over the last year, amazing stuff has been happening. And it's also subtle, which, of course, why should I think anything otherwise? Because Reiki usually is really subtle.
Right, right. So can you share one of these themes with us?
Oh, well, just for instance, with my dreams, like I've started dreaming a lot more. And I realized that, I mean, to me, dreams are kind of your connection to that inner part of yourself, and it's telling you things. And so realizing that I was dreaming a lot more was a really interesting side effect, because to me that means that connection has been strengthened and I'm more open to allowing that information to flow through. And just, I guess personally I've let go of a whole lot of stuff, and also I've found people to help me let go of a whole lot of stuff, you know, which is also part of the process. So... I don't know if you've heard of the Sedona method, but the CDs suddenly fell into my lap, and then we went to an interesting doctor up here who works in a similar vein, and I've been giving myself a lot more Reiki and sending a lot more Reiki, and everything just started falling into place, and I've let go of a huge amount of anger that I've been holding on to for a long time, and yeah, like life just seems to be more easy.
Great.
Yeah, really.
Wonderful. Yeah, really. So you're back in the family fold, having gone off to London and other parts
north, I suppose, would be the general direction. How is it for you to be back in your family and as a Reiki master?
Again, it's interesting because it's kind of like growing up with Reiki. It's just part of the family. It's just part of the way you operate. It's if you're sick, you get Reiki, or if someone else is sick, you give them Reiki, and you send Reiki, and it's just there. And I guess that taking that next step, it's just the next logical step. Like, it's really interesting because growing up with Reiki was very difficult in some ways, especially because most people hadn't heard of it at that time.
Uh-huh.
And so people thought you were a bit weird because
you
had this thing that you did and they didn't know anything about it and they'd never really heard of spirituality. You know, my friends at school, their parents were so caught up in the corporate world that they were... That's where they were going, and our family was completely different. I mean, we looked after ourselves and we ate pretty healthily, and we didn't get a microwave for ages. Everyone had microwaves, you know, those sort of things, and obviously did Reiki.
Yeah.
I remember being so embarrassed because I had a whole group of friends stay over after we'd had something on at school, and one of them had really bad stomach ache the next day, and Mum came into the room we were all staying and gave him Reiki, and it was so embarrassing because they just all looked at me like I was this weirdo. Yeah, really funny.
Well, I had this other image in my mind. I should tell you what it was. So when kids come over for, you know, like a sleepover now, I guess you guys would call it, you know, a lot of times they watch movies, right? And lots of kids these days, the only way they know how to make popcorn is in a microwave. We didn't have a microwave for ages, and so I had friends over who brought their little microwave popcorn bags. And going, you don't have a microwave? Like, how do you pop popcorn? And I'm going, well, on the stove.
Oh, and it's so much better on the stove if you get it down pat. No, I don't have a microwave.
That's funny. But it is really funny to have these memories of, you know, just going, oh, I could die and fall through the floor kind of thing.
I know. Well, I'm sure it helped Nathan as well, but at the same time, it was just so embarrassing. Like, I'm thinking, why is my mum standing here in front of all my friends giving him Reiki? Oh, dear. And, you know, I took that with me because I've always been a bit hesitant to share it with other people, and I realized that part of that is because of our idea of healing. We think that healing needs to be now. So if my friend's got a bad back and I give him some Reiki on his back and it doesn't take away the pain, they can't see that anything has changed, even though there's probably a lot of other stuff going on underneath that is changing because it heals at such a deeper level. But for so many years, I didn't get that either. So how is someone that hasn't had that connection to the Reiki and hasn't experienced it in their lives, how are they going to even think that it's working? Because most people don't, there's nothing else to them. They've grown up in this system where if you're sick, you take a pill and it makes you feel better immediately. And we want this immediate kind of healing, and that's not the way it works. It works however it needs to work best at that moment in that point of time. And that's what I've realized is just the most amazing thing about Reiki, is that it does what it needs to do, and we just get out of the way and let it do it. And it's our choice as to whether or not we continue or we don't. But because there isn't that sort of immediate benefit all the time, sometimes there is. I was always a bit hesitant to give it to my friends. Because then you don't know what their reaction's going to be. Then they question what you believe.
You're right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to this, Anasuya, in just a few minutes. It's time for a break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Anasuya Clef. Oh, I see what I did. Anasuya Clef, and she's living now, not in Sydney, but on the east coast of Australia. Where are you exactly?
In Lismore.
Lismore, exactly. Right. And she's been sharing her understanding of healing and really bringing out a very important point in our practice of Reiki, which is that there are certain, what I call, critical assumptions that we make. And I feel that, you know, in growing up in an environment where the allopathic medicine model was prevalent for most of us, it meant that symptoms needed to disappear quickly in order for something to be happening. That was sort of our assumption. But Anasuya was just pointing out that that assumption doesn't hold for Reiki. And it's hard to explain it to people, especially when you're like 13, 14, 15 years old, or even when you're 40.
I was about to say it hasn't really changed, yes.
Yeah, it's tough. Because it, you know, for me, what happened, I was in this place when I was 30, you know, I was, I went to my first Reiki class with my grandmother, and, you know, here she's telling these stories about how she treated people, but she would always tell stories mostly about how she treated this person for weeks or months, and eventually, you know, the epileptic fits got better, or, you know, something miraculous kind of happened. And because my dad is a doctor, I was always expecting symptoms to go away instantly. And when they didn't, I was really confused. And I was confused for years. So I had no idea what I was doing. And yet I did it because I trusted her, and I trusted that people were getting benefit, but I couldn't really explain it all. And now it feels like you've encapsulated this wonderfully and articulated it beautifully. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, beautiful.
It is so, a very interesting journey to go on, especially when you're so right, you know, 13, 14, 15, probably up to about 26, 27, I hadn't really gone on my own spiritual journey knowingly. And so if someone said to me, well, what is Reiki? And I'm like, oh, well, it's the universal life force. I mean, what does that mean? And now I can go, well, you know, this is what I believe, and I feel that I think that everything is made up of this stuff. And so to me it's natural that that's what Reiki is. It's just part of that universal life energy. And it makes sense now, whereas before it was a kind of outside concept that I didn't understand and hadn't had any experience with. And yet people still think you're weird.
Definitely, because, you know, they live in another context. I've been really taken these days with the concept of context. Like, because we have this critical assumption that healing takes place on many, many levels, and most of them are not seen, and most of them actually we're not conscious of. So that particular assumption and philosophy allows us a lot of leeway as far as time and space and, you know, what is healing really? Is it saving somebody from death? Or is it allowing death to come in a graceful and very poignant moment? And so, you know, our cosmology, like how we look at the world, is so different from most people. And what I find fascinating is that through, it seems, in observing many, many, many students, and listening to thousands of people talk about Reiki, it's like, I don't have to teach that part. If you practice Reiki, it comes to you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And this is the part that I am in awe of, that Reiki can really teach me. My grandmother used to say, let Reiki teach you, and I would go, oh, right. But now I know that it's a very wise thing to say, and that it will work and it will happen.
Which, again, is very difficult to actually let it teach you.
Yeah. So what is the latest that Reiki has taught you? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
I think just to trust, like, which is a very difficult concept to have, and it shouldn't be, but I think just trusting that when I'm giving Reiki, it's doing what it needs to do, and when I'm sending Reiki, it's doing what it needs to do. And it's been very interesting because I remember speaking to Mum, and it wasn't too long after I'd had the initiation, and I was sending Reiki and I wasn't feeling anything. Like, I just couldn't feel anything, and I got a bit worried, and I was speaking to her about it, and she said that often what she finds is that if she's sending Reiki and she's not feeling something, it usually means that there's something going on inside of her that's sorting itself out, and she'll get to a breakthrough at the other side. And so I just started watching that process, and I can't remember what the breakthrough was, but there was something, and I realized that I just had to let go of my need to control and see what was happening and understand what it was working on, I just had to let go and just trust that Reiki was doing whatever Reiki needed to do in every situation.
Uh-huh.
And that's been a hard one, but an interesting one, as I like to plan everything and know where I'm going or try and work out, well, if I do this, this is what will happen. And I've got to work through that, and it's helping me work through that. So that's a really great lesson.
Uh-huh. That's a big one.
It's a huge
one. Yeah, because often what I find, and I don't know if this is true for you, I find that I don't get to see actually the result of long-term Reiki for a long time.
Mm.
So I need hindsight, or I need perspective in order to see the changes or the shifts in direction or in attitude or whatever is happening. And I think that's another big part of our society today, where we're all sort of preach that, you know, what's it called? Instant gratification is where it's at. And we don't often get instant gratification in Reiki.
No. Although, having said that, then there are these, I always find it really interesting to work with animals. And actually, one of the most amazing experiences that I had since coming home is I joined the local Wires group, which is like an animal rescue organization. And we went to pick up a bird that had been hit by a car. It was a rainbow lorikeet.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they are beautiful, but it had been hit by a car and it had been hit really badly. And we went to the vet. They told us to go to the vet to see whether there was anything, you know, that they could give it or whatever. And Mum and I just ended up sitting in the car, and I just held the bird in my hands and gave it Reiki, and it got really, really hot. And you could see the bird calming down, and then it actually went into the death throes. So it, you know, it was moving. Oh, it's really difficult to explain, but they kind of get like a jerky move, and
uh-huh.
then he died. But it was such a beautiful moment. It was really sad, because it was such a reminder of what we do to this world. And at the same time, it was so beautiful, because the death that bird had was so different to having been taken into a vet, given something, put in a cage, and, you know, like nothing, just there was nothing that we could do. It was hurt too badly. It wasn't going to live. But the Reiki allowed it to let go.
Uh-huh.
Just be calm about the whole situation, and you could watch it just getting calm and getting peaceful, and then it went into the death throes, and then it died. And it was such an amazing experience, because I really got to see how Reiki just paved the way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They take it on board so easily, and it was, yeah. So there are those instances where you really get to see the workings of it, and I think with animals it's a lot easier, because they don't have any of the thoughts and processes and everything else in the way that we tend to have.
Yes, and also, having said that, I realize that when I give myself Reiki in the morning, waking up, it has immediate effect.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I try, Phyllis, but I'm such not a morning person. It's my next challenge to myself.
Right.
That I do give myself Reiki, but I just kind of fall back asleep, so I don't end up
right.
getting a whole treatment. I just wake up, oh no, my heart now is gone.
Well, I used to try to give myself Reiki at night, which was really bad news, because then I'd wake myself up, and then I'd have to read for a while to get myself lulled back to sleep. So I'm trying to do it in the morning these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess maybe you've said a little bit about this, so I'd like to just change topics a little.
How was it for you when Reiki came into your family? Did you feel like it changed sort of a core essence of your family relationships?
Well, yes and no. Not anything about the actual relationships, but what I've always really appreciated is that it gives you something to do. Like, we're very helpless in our society if someone's sick. And Mum used to get quite sick, and it meant that I could actually be a part of that, so I could go and give her Reiki, which was a complete blessing. So,
yeah.
I mean, at that time, it was just my mum and I, so there wasn't a lot of relationships to be shifted because we already had quite a close relationship. So, yeah. But yeah. I think it was that feeling of actually being able to contribute something and knowing that you weren't helpless, that you could do something and that, or not you could do something, but that the Reiki could do something.
Well, I think that's both is true, that you could do something by being there with her and and putting your hands on and then allowing Reiki to do what it did. Yeah. Well, we're going to just take a little break here, and we'll come back for our final segment. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Get your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Anasuya Klaff. And Anasuya, you've just learned amazing things through your experiences with Reiki. I'm just wondering if there's something that you've come across in Reiki that really still is a big question mark for you.
that I'd really like to know how it works.
Me too.
Because I see it working, and I mean, there were questions for me about whether sending Reiki worked until one of my mum's students sent my toe Reiki, and I didn't know she was sending it Reiki. And I woke up in the middle of the night and it was throbbing, and then I woke up the next day and it was healed. So, and then I found out that she'd sent me Reiki. So I know that sending Reiki works, and I know that giving Reiki works, but I have absolutely no idea how it works. What does it actually do? What is the part of all that is, or what is it connected to, and where is it channeling it, and is there a defined path that it follows to fix something, or, you know, how?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because your question brings to mind something that came out in the last series, which had to do with, you know, this whole, you know, like the whole, there are Reiki people all over the world working in many, many different forms. But my question was, is there a Reiki movement? And for a lot of the people that I interviewed, they said that they wouldn't call it a Reiki movement. What they would call it was a Reiki connection. And I found that fascinating. And I don't know why this popped into my head, but in the moment, I think, well, okay, if one of the great gifts of Reiki is to be connected, not just in yourself, which is a huge gift, but also knowing that you are connected with other human beings and other forms of life on the planet, then what is the power of connection? And is this part of the secret recipe of Reiki, that we are connected so intimately, energetically, that it creates movement in our physical body and in our emotional and spiritual bodies also? Yeah, it's a fascinating place. I had never had these, if I may use the word, connections before, but it's an interesting theory. I'm going to have to mull this over a bit more. But are you speaking more about a kind of new physics explanation for Reiki?
Well, that wasn't in my mind. But now that you say that, it's interesting because I find all of the quantum physics information that's coming out incredibly fascinating. Not that it really says anything other than what so many different religions or spiritualities, more spiritualities really, have been saying for so many years. But when I kind of went down that track, I realized that to me could almost explain where Reiki was coming from, and if it explained where it was coming from, then it may lead to how it works. Because it's just such a fascinating subject. I mean, you put your hands on someone and energy flows through those hands and healing takes place in whatever form it takes place. How does that happen? And especially the sending of Reiki, like what is it working on? How is that healing? And can we take that into the greater context of the world? I mean, it's always probably the most important to work on yourself, but there are so many issues popping up, and I wonder whether Reiki could play a part in smoothing them over a little bit. If that makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a wonderful question. Thank you. Thank you for asking it. I now have this other tangent to go off on when I have a few moments in my day. Because this is a kind of way out there. When I lived in Australia some years ago, I was watching television and they had these a series on that were kind of, what are they called, reenactments or
something like that, and they were talking about the healing of Jesus and what that was really about and why were they miraculous and how did they think it happened. It was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the message that I got from this documentary kind of thing was that Jesus was able to love someone so much that he created the space for the body to adjust itself to its natural order.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's about connection.
Yeah.
Totally about connection. Well, anyway, in my brain, this is where it all comes together. So it's an interesting thing. I will be pondering this for a while. So thank you very much.
Tell me anything that you come up with, because I would really love to follow on as well. Because I've been thinking about it, and I think that part of what keeps coming up for me is that it is exactly that, because everything is connected. And everything is connected and everything is the same thing. I mean, if what I've been studying is true, you know, what's truth. And Reiki is a part of that, but I sometimes wonder, I wonder if there are, like, parts of the whole. So if you've got this energy that surrounds us at all the time, and this was a discussion I started with Mum, she actually suggested, well, maybe, you know, is there a healing part of that? And is there a manifesting part or a part that's more connected to the animals? I just don't know. Is it just the pure energy that's coming through and, I guess, yeah, creating space for everything to come more into alignment and come back to where it needs to be?
Uh-huh.
Really, I guess that's what disease is we're all out of alignment with our natural state of being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a great place to leave and a great place to end this interview, although it would be great for it to go on for another hour. Thank you very much, Anasuya, for your time and your sharing.
Oh, and thank you so much, Phyllis, for having me on the show and chatting. It's been wonderful.
Well, it has. Wonderful. Well, thank you again. I just want to take this opportunity before I sign off to remind the listeners that on March 14th, 2009, there will be a day-long live streaming video broadcast of me. And you can get more information if you go to the website. So this website of the SeventhWaveNetwork.com. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, balancing form and essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.